Cross Culture, I miss you so much. And I'm glad we can assemble here today. Remember, most of the time I would get up and greet you, I would remind you or remind us that it's a blessing that we can come together and assemble, because there are some places where people are not allowed to do that. As a matter of fact, they could get executed, they could get fined, they could get in big trouble. I would oftentimes say, let's not take it for granted. We don't know how long we'll have this opportunity and this privilege. So here we are. We're in my home. And as usual, I say to you, can we just talk as if we are in my home? Well, here we are. And my dear darling Krista, my daughter, a few weeks ago, really brought you guys into my house, because when my husband was teaching and he began to cough, they didn't want you to think that he had coronavirus. So she made it known that, no, it's not coronavirus. It's dust in this room. And I'm thinking, girl, you put all my business out here. So it's all right. We got the dust taken care of, and we're going to go from here. So welcome to our home. And it's a delight, it's a joy to be back together with you. There's a scripture, Romans somewhere, but Paul said, Romans 1:11, Paul said, I long to see you, he's talking to the people there in Rome, that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to strengthen you. That is, that we may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith, both yours and mine. And that's what I say to you today. I long to see you, that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to strengthen you, that we may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith, both yours and mine. So we're in this thing together. We're living at a time, let me say, before I get into that, let me say this. I really wanted to make this all about Mother's Day and talk about the women of the Bible and those who have gone on before us. We've talked about some of those things in the past. And I've been very, very prayerful, because I wanted to make sure that I'm at a place where God would have me, that I would give to you and encourage you, as I just said, in a way that would be beneficial to all of us. So with that in mind, as I prayed and I sought the Lord and I fought and I battled with this thing, because I'm thinking, oh, this is supposed to be Mother's Day. I gotta make sure I'm going that way. And I thought about the quote that we at Cross Culture Church quote a lot. Most of us have gotten it by heart. Some of us still stumble over it because it is kind of lengthy. And but it's this quote. They say that it was authored by Martin Luther, but I found out that it was actually someone else, but that's neither here nor there. But it says, and you can say it with me, if you remember it, I want you to say it along with me right where you are, okay? I'm watching you. I see Brother Benson over here, Brother Rod and Angela. I see Sister Peaches and Mike Russell right there. I see the Sessions right there. I see the Drakes, Domingo and Naja. And by the way, happy birthday, Joseph. I see Brother Bert and Narkita and the people on this side. And I see Sister Shalita and Sherelle, Pastor Greg, I see you guys over here. So let's quote this together. It says, if I profess with the loudest voice and the clearest exposition of the truth of God, except precisely that little point which the world and the devil are at that moment attacking, I am not confessing Christ, however boldly I may be professing Christ. So what he's saying here is that I can speak of the truth of God, but if I miss that point where the enemy and the world at that moment are attacking, I'm confessing Christ, however boldly I may not be, I am not confessing Christ, however boldly I may be professing Christ. So with that in mind, it gave me just a bit of, okay, it's all right to go with this. Because of where we are right now in this current time, and I guess we can call this message, seeing beyond the now. Seeing beyond the now. Miss Kathy, I know you're going to be glad that I came up with the title prior to. The title might change as we go on, but in the meantime, I believe that's what it is. Seeing beyond the now. It seems like the world has recently has just been turned upside down. We're experiencing now an unprecedented crisis. We have never seen anything like what we're seeing in this day and time before. And of course, you guys know I'm speaking of the pandemic. It's these days, there's unusual fear, anxiety, stress, panic, despair, and even in some cases, just absolute hopelessness. And when things like this take place, things happen out of our control, we have to make adjustments. We have to make many adjustments. These things are affecting our health, this pandemic certainly affects our health. It affects our financial situations, our social life, our family life, our spiritual life, and the list goes on and on. And during these kinds of times, our faith is definitely tested. If you've been like me, I've been asking the Lord, God, what do you want me to see during this time, during this season, during this horrific time? What is it you want me to see? How do you want me to position myself? And also, like you, I'm sure, we ask the question, God, where are you in this? I mean, there are divorces, domestic violence, all kinds of situations that's going on as a result, from my understanding, the stats say as a result of this pandemic. So people are searching for answers everywhere. Where is God? And the Christians are, what is this, the devil? Is this God? Unfortunately, there are confusing thoughts along this line. You turn on the TV or the radio, and you will hear, or you've probably heard, some leaders, some spiritual leaders, who say, this is of God. This is God's doing. God brought about this pandemic because he's judging. Then, actually, it happened to me just a few weeks ago. I turned from one channel to the next. The next minute, another minister was saying, this is not of God. This is the devil, and we should come against it. And of course, we do the 2 Chronicles 7:14. Yes, let's do that. I'm not knocking that. By all means, let's pray, because the Lord did say in 2 Chronicles 7:14, if I send a pestilence and all of these things, if my people, one translation I believe it says, when I send pestilence and these things, I didn't write that one out. But if my people who are called by my name, that's us, would humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, Then will I hear from heaven, I will forgive their sins and heal their land. Praise God for that scripture that we certainly take hold of. But it's just, it's so much confusion all over the place. And we don't want, we have to be careful that we don't come up with answers where God hasn't spoken or God hasn't said anything. I want to know. I'm sure you want to know. Lord God, what is going on here? It's affecting our lives in a tremendous way. Death rates are off the chart. God, what is it? How do I position myself? What is it that you would have me learn from all of this? Where did it come from? How long will it be here? But when we don't know, we need to be okay with being humble enough to say, I don't know. I don't know the ins and outs of this. I'm praying, I'm asking the Lord, and I believe God is going to show us. But in the meantime, what do we do with this time that God has given us where we're pretty much forced to be locked in with our families? Yes, forced to be locked in with our families, those that we love so dearly, those that would tell us the truth about ourselves, those that we're not trying to impress and they're not trying to impress us. We're just real. Could it be in this that God wants us to really be together, to sit across from each other and talk? We talk about how, I know we were saying how much we miss hugging and we do the virtual hugs, especially to our church congregation. I had to catch myself because I'm thinking, okay, I long to give and receive a hug from my forever family, as we call each other. But I've got people right here in my house. Am I hugging them? Am I hugging them? Am I loving on them? We ought to take this time to check up on one another, especially the widows, the widowers, the single moms, just families, just people, to take time to check up on them. And it's all over. I love how this is being pushed on TV, but it's important for us to take advantage of this time that God has given us. But back to, we want to make sure that we're not giving out information, giving out what's supposed to be truth and Bible when it's not there. If it's gray, then we need to stay in the gray, and it's okay. It's okay. Later on, I'm going to share something with you that has really helped me. Cross culture, you know, this year, our theme, each year my husband goes before the Lord to ask him what is the focus of our ministry for this year? What does the Lord want us to emphasize or to focus on? This year is themed the year of 2020 vision. And I really like that theme because I'm thinking, oh yes, you know, we're going to be able to see, we're going to get clarity on some things and we're going to see this and we're going to see that. And, you know, just going on and on with the 2020 vision. But I didn't see this coming. 2020 vision, it's a term that's used to express visual acuity. It has to do with the sharpness or clarity of vision measured at a distance of 20 feet. So if you have 20/100 vision, that means that you must be as close as 20 feet to see what a person who is 100 feet away can see. Hopefully you got that. 20 feet, 20/100, you can see from a 20 feet distance the same that a person with normal vision can see at a 100 feet distance. So having 20, we usually think, at least I did, I used to think 20/20 vision meant that you had perfect vision, but I found out that that is not necessarily what that means. It doesn't mean that you have perfect vision because it's 20/20, because there are other things that come into place too that that contribute to the overall visual ability, which including peripheral, you know, where we see from the sides, whether the person is nearsighted or farsighted. Then there's something that's called depth perception, D-E-P-T-H, depth perception. Depth perception, well, let me just give you an example. It allows us to move through life without bumping into things. It's the distance of an object. For instance, there's a wall there in front of me. My depth perception lets me see how far that wall is. There's a door over there. My depth perception helps me to know that I'm getting close to this door and, you know, don't bump into it. So perception means the ability to see, and I want you to pay close attention to these words, see, hear, or become aware of something through your senses. That's perception. It's a way of regarding, it's a way of understanding or interpreting something. It's a mental impression. It includes the collection of data from sense organs to the interpretation by the brain. So perception, our sense organs, the hearing, the seeing, the understanding, becoming aware of something, it's a collection of data that's gained from our sense organs, and then an interpretation is made by the brain. You'll see where we're going in a minute. Don't get lost on these definitions. You guys know I love to do definitions. They help me in really understanding what it is I'm really reading. So perception is a lot more than just information coming in. It's an active process. I heard a preacher say one time that perception has gone halfway around the world before reality even gets out of the bed. And commercials do this all of the time. What am I saying? Commercials, you see these commercials, we see with our eyes, sense organs, then we hear it, we're looking at these things, and we have a tendency of believing what we see. Now, we've been seeing a lot on our television screens. We've been seeing this big red, now it's a square, I think, in the corner, of pandemic. At one point, I didn't even want to see red anymore. The whole TV screen was just red. Then over in the corner was this this data, these statistics that gave us the number of deaths globally from the pandemic, the number of the cases of those who tested positive, the whole gamut. So we're constantly seeing this. Now, I'm not one of those who would say, don't listen to the news. Don't read the newspaper. I'm not one who says that. But I will say, we've got to be careful what our eyes see and what our ears are hearing. Because remember a little song we sing in Sunday school? Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. Be careful, little ears, what you hear. I hope that rings in our ears even right now, because we, by seeing these things, it's easy for us. I mean, they will lodge into our brain, and we may be very unconscious about it. For instance, my dear darling grandbaby, you guys know Oni. Stay with me. We're going to get back on track here. Oni made a sign the other day like this, and Krista told me that means praying. She prays with her. She's teaching her to pray. Oni is 19 months old. So when she said that, I thought about this song that says, it's an old song by the OJs, and I thought about Robert Boyd. It says, put your hands together. And it's talking about praying. Well, I played that song, and Annie, Oni and I just danced. She wanted to hear it again, and again, and again, and again, and again, and again, and again. So she'll come to me, and she goes, nah, nah. And that means I want to hear that song. Well, that song played repetitiously several times that it just parked on my brain. Several nights, I'm trying to get it off my brain while I'm trying to sleep, and it wouldn't go anywhere. Same thing applies here. When we see, and mind you, when that what I tried to do when that happened was I tried to think of another song to try to dispel that one. It works, though. Same kind of scenario with this. Until we bring the Word of God in, all of this other information that we're getting will crowd out our brains. It's lodged in there. Then we come up with a perspective. We come up with a perspective, and that is a particular attitude toward a way of regarding something. We come up with a point of view, the way you do something. So with that in mind, I want to encourage us to be careful about what we're paying most of our attention to. While you're at home, and here's that mama part of me that's coming out, let me encourage you, while you're home together as a family, do some things together. Pull out some old pictures. Reminisce over your vacations that you had together. You'll be surprised at how healthy that will be to a family. Pray together. Come up with creative ways to do food. My husband was so nice to do. He made me some of the best fried fish yesterday and today, and I was just so grateful. So even in that, there's a bonding there. Love is being expressed. He's saying, I want to do something nice for you. He went to the strawberry farm, got us some strawberries, watermelon for it, grandbaby. These are the kinds of things that many times we think are not that significant, and they mean so much because it's the love of God that's being expressed in our heart. So anyway, back to perception. All right, so we're looking at this data, is landing on our brains. So the fear, the anxiety, the panic, the stress starts to, it doesn't creep in. It just dives in. When we, and if we're afraid, the Bible tells us, the Bible says so many times about don't be afraid. But when we are afraid, we have someone to go to. We have a Savior who cares about every aspect of our life. He said he will perfect those things that concern us. There's nothing that concerns us that doesn't concern our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Nothing. Nothing too big, nothing too little. Okay, so anyway, so we come up with a point of view. We come up with an attitude based on what we're seeing and what we're hearing. By all means, we want to pray for our governmental leaders. We want to pray for those who make decisions for us. We want to pray for our local officials. The Bible says that when the righteous rule, the people rejoice. So we flip that. If the unrighteous rule, the people mourn. We want to rejoice. We don't want to mourn. Okay. So, again, let's not come up with an opinion that we just came up with based on things that we've heard and we've seen on TV. The Word of God is always always just an assurance to us as believers that God is with us. The Bible teaches us that the Lord is with us. Jesus said, I will never leave you. I'll never forsake you. He says, I will be with you always, even to the end of the world. He's here. He's with us. Even when we can't track him or trace him in a thing, we have to be assured that we are serving a sovereign God, and he's not way out there somewhere, and this is just going on, and we're handling this by ourselves. No. There's a passage, there's a story in the Bible that really, really helped me. I had not seen it this way before, because when I would read this, I got a whole different message from it. And it's in the book of Exodus, chapter 33 and verse 17. And some of you may know this one. You may know this by heart. I always think of Brother Frank Holloway, when we read this story. This is one of his favorites. And I won't read the whole thing, but this particular passage is when Moses asked the Lord to show him his glory. And it was so cute, because when I went back to read it, the Lord had just said to Moses, he said in verse 17, he said, and the Lord said to Moses, I will do the very thing you have asked, not to show me your glory. But anyway, that was a part I want to show you in here. What I want to really emphasize is this latter part of this. He said, I will do the very thing you have asked, because I am pleased with you and I know you by name. I am pleased with you and I know you by name. And I'm sure I thought about my grandbaby again. Well, let me say this. So after the Lord said that to Moses, then Moses said, now show me your glory. I thought again about my granddaughter, because she'll do little nice things. She'll pat you on the back. She'll give you an unsolicited kiss, but then it's followed up with something else. She wants apple or orange, guga, which is cookie. And I thought about this. I said, wasn't he something? God had just told him he was pleased with him and he knew him by name. He said, now show me your glory. But anyway, the Lord said, he said, you cannot see my face. So Moses' prayer was he wanted to see the manifest presence, the glory of God. And God said, you cannot see me and live. Well, let me just read it from here. And the Lord said, I will cause all my goodness to pass in front of you, and I will proclaim my name, the Lord, in your presence. I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. But he said, you cannot see my face, so no one may see me and live. He goes on. Then the Lord said, I love this. There is a place near me where you may stand on a rock. When my glory passes by, I will put you in a cleft in the rock and cover you with my hand until I have passed by. Then I will remove my hand and you will see my back, but my face must not be seen. There are a couple of words I want you to zero in on. This really blessed me. He said, there is a place near me. God wants us to draw near to him. A place near me where you may stand on a rock. And I say, even when we don't understand what's going on, we will stand. When my glory passes by and I will put you in a cleft of a rock, then I will remove my hand and you will see my back, but my face must not be seen. So while God is acting, while God is moving, while he is passing by, our eyes are covered, like Moses's. His eyes were covered. So we may not, you remember when the Lord, and it said the Lord blinded Paul for a while, and I won't get into all that, but he covered him, and he says, then I will remove my hand, and you will see my back, but my face must not be seen. So to see God's back means we can only see where God has passed, where he has passed by. So it's after events have occurred and after his next move is completed that we have clearer vision. The Hebrew word for back, it doesn't mean the physical back, like this right here, the body part. The Hebrew word is ahor, A-H-O-R, and it means what is behind, what has happened in the past. So to sum it all up, the things that are going on in the world, this pandemic, all of the ins and outs of it, where is God in it? Is God in it? Is he not? The things, our 2020 vision is not enough to see all of what God is doing. This 2020 vision won't do it. So our vision is clarified many times, most of the time, after the event has passed. Because after all, we only see his back. God is so good in this. It helped me, and I hope it helped you. It helped me to see this from another perspective, that perhaps while all of this is going on, while we are being still, as Pastor said on Wednesday night, be still. And while we are waiting, God, and not trying to figure God out, but instead, we want to make sure that we come out of this better than the way we went into it. We want to come out much better. I said to myself, I'm determined to come out of this better than I was when I went into it. So with all of this going on, rather than trying to just, yeah, we want to see God. We want to be able to track him. But I mean, let's just be for real. This thing is huge. Is unprecedented. But God is in it. There's nothing that we're part of that God is not a part of. He's in it. I believe, well, my question is, God, what is required of me during this time? I do not want to miss you. Not in this. I don't want to miss you. So when uncertain times like this come, these times should cause us to take some introspection of ourselves. You know, as I do, that during stormy times like this, our faith is tested to the utmost. Our faith is tested. I've asked myself, okay, what do I really believe? Do I believe God is going to bring us through this? What if it doesn't? What if it doesn't go or end, or whatever it does, the way that I'm praying that it does? What if it doesn't? What if my life is required of me? Am I ready? Do I believe that I've accomplished all that God has given for me to accomplish? What is my part? What is my position? But during all this, while our faith is being tested, we want our faith, we want to trust God in spite of these challenging circumstances. God has graced us as believers with strength, power, wisdom, resilience. He's graced us with all of that. So again, God, if it's you, what part am I to play? What are you requiring of me? We've been forced to be together. Show us what it is that you would have us do. I want to close with this. This scripture has really sealed it all for me. This scripture has really sealed it all for me. And it's in Colossians chapter 1, verse 17. And it's the second part of that scripture. And it says, He, meaning the Lord, is before all things. And in Him, all things hold together. All things work together for good to those that love the Lord and are the called according to His purpose. My prayer for all of us is that we will allow the Lord to work in us that He desires during this time. That in these challenging times, as our faith is being tested, that we will dare to trust God, believe God, and stand in spite of it, knowing that once God has done what He's doing, once He's finished, we will see and we will rejoice. God bless you. I pray that this word will affect you at least the way it has affected me. God bless you. I love you guys. I look forward to seeing you. But before I close, there may be someone who's joining us and you're at a place where you've heard this and your heart has been touched in some way. Maybe it wasn't touched just by this message. Maybe the Lord has been dealing with you or dealing with your heart at some other time. And you want to become a part of the family of God. God sent His Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, out of His love for us to give us an opportunity to be in relationship with Him. He has a plan for our lives. He has a plan. Well, I'm talking about you. He has a plan for your life. There's nothing you could do to earn God's favor. There's nothing you could do to earn His love. God just loves you. God loves us. If you're here and you want to become a part of the family of God, to give your life to Him, to allow Him to make you who He had in mind from the beginning, you want to grow in the things of God, would you, let's pray this prayer. Father, I thank You for Your love. I thank You that You sent Your Son Jesus to die in my stead. There's nothing I could do to cleanse myself, but You sent a perfect sacrifice in Your Son Jesus to redeem me, to bring me to You. And Father, I want You to have my life, to have me, all of me. I want to be who You've created me to be. I want to walk in Your ways. I want my life to please You. Lord Jesus, I ask You to cleanse my heart, cleanse me from sin, make me anew. I thank You and I bless You in all that You've done. Amen. Amen. God bless you.